What if I told you that about 15 to 20 years ago, a 31st round pick would become one of the most prolific home run hitters of the post-steroid era in the MLB? A big, 6'3", 240-pound beast of a ball player would strike fear into opposing pitchers and go on a four-season stretch that included three top 25 MVP finishes. Despite being such a feared slugger, this is a player who did not make an All-Star team and, in my opinion, doesn't get the modern-day recognition that he deserves. Travis Hafner, known affectionately as Pronk, was without a doubt a pretty good player and is the topic of today's episode. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the latest episode of the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. This is the baseball podcast where we take those pretty good, but not necessarily Hall of Fame level players, and we just give them the recognition that they truly deserve. These could be guys who played 15 seasons or even just one or two seasons. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they found success at the MLB level, which is incredibly hard to do. And us here at the show, we just want to show them appreciation. I know with modern sports media, you know, they get so caught up on the Shohei Ohtanis, the Aaron Judges, or even just not even talking about baseball in general. You hear so much about LeBron, the Lakers, the Dallas Cowboys. That's all it ever is. And so what this show aims to do is just shine a spotlight on the guys that you won't hear talked about on ESPN. I just want to show appreciation for guys that really helped me fall in love with the game of baseball. And so that's what we try and do on this show. If you like what you're hearing, you be sure to check out these old episodes we got. We got plenty of old episodes. We cover players' careers. We cover really great seasons. We have some interviews with some really great players as well. There's just tons of things for any baseball fan to sink their teeth into. If you want some free ways to help the show, you could always leave a 5-star review, download the episodes, spread the word about the show. That always helps. The best way to grow a podcast is through word of mouth. And also, in the link of this episode, down in the description, you'll see a link to the Underdog newsletter. What the Underdog newsletter is, it's a free sports newsletter. Every Sunday, they put out new articles about underdogs in every single sport. It's always a great read, and it's completely free to subscribe, and it really helps me out. All you got to do, just click that link, put in your email, you're subscribed, and you really help the show out. More, like I said, 100% completely free. And also, the articles are great. I would not promote something I don't believe in, but I really believe in this newsletter. I think it's fantastic. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. That's enough of the promotion and information. Let's get into the pretty good career of Travis Hafner. It's a great day to talk baseball with you guys. Travis Hafner was born on June 3rd, 1977 in Jamestown, North Dakota. He attended a very small high school in Sykeston, North Dakota, and the place was so small that they didn't even have a baseball program there. The city of Sykeston is so tiny that when a census was conducted there in 2020, it showed that the population was only 105 people. Something you might not know about Travis Hafner, though, is that he wasn't just some big jock in school with no brains. He was actually the valedictorian of his high school class. Hafner was a smart guy. Travis Hafner excelled at basketball during his teenage years, too. So much so that North Dakota State even offered him a scholarship to shoot hoops there. While in high school, Hafner actually attended a tryout camp for the Atlanta Braves, and he impressed the scouts so much that they even offered him a small free agent bonus to sign with them. But instead of signing, he decided he wasn't quite ready and opted to seek out college opportunities instead. Where Hafner would wind up going was actually suggested to him by a Brave scout. So the college that Travis Hafner would go on to attend after graduating high school would be Cowley County Community College. Yeah, that's right. CCCC for short. In Arkansas City, Kansas. Cowley County Community College is a public community college that was founded in 1922, and they typically have a little over 2,000 students enrolled there at any given semester. Former MLB reliever Trevor Rosenthal attended this school as well. While attending CCCC, Hafner played on the baseball team there, and he was great. As a freshman, Hafner led the team to their first ever Junior College World Series appearance in 1996. The team had an impressive record of 53-11, and Hafner had a school record 82 RBIs that season. Travis Hafner to this day still holds the school record for RBIs in a season with those 82. He also holds the record for runs batted in a career with 161, doubles in a season with 21, and doubles in a career with 36. It's pretty safe to say that Travis Hafner is probably the best player Cowley County Community College has ever seen. When asked about him, Hafner's college coach, Dave Burrows, said that he practiced every day like it was the seventh game of the World Series, and that's why he was so successful for us. He's a very genuine, honest, and hardworking person. Hafner later said that the most fun he had in his whole entire life was playing college baseball. Travis Hafner's MLB journey would begin when he was drafted by the Texas Rangers in the 31st round of the 1996 MLB draft. That's a lot of rounds, meaning a lot of teams passed on Travis Hafner. Luckily, though, he'd eventually show them all what he could do. The top five players taken in the 1996 MLB draft were Chris Benson, who went first overall to the Pittsburgh Pirates, Travis Lee went second to the Twins, Braden Looper went third to the Cardinals, Billy Koch went fourth to the Blue Jays, and rounding out the top five, John Paterson was selected by the Montreal Expos. Future Cy Young Award winner R.A. Dickey was also taken in the first round of this draft, going 18th overall to the Texas Rangers, and future NL MVP Jimmy Rollins was taken in the second round of the 1996 draft by the Philadelphia Phillies as well. As a 20-year-old, Hafner would begin his pursuit of making it to the show by playing for the Gulf Coast League Rangers. He'd appear in 55 games with the team and hit .286 with 5 homers, 24 RBIs, and 14 doubles, with 38 runs scored on top of it. He also managed an OPS of .814. This is going to kind of start a trend that would continue for Travis Hafner's whole career. When he was able to get on the field, he could just straight up hit. The next season in 1998, Hafner was moved up to the Savannah Sand Gnats, an A-ball affiliate for the Texas Rangers. While he didn't have quite as great of a year with the Savannah Sand Gnats as he did with the Gulf Coast Rangers in the year prior, he was still fairly decent. He played in 123 games and hit 16 homers while driving in 84 runs. His batting average did dip down to .237 and his OPS lowered to .764, but he was still a fairly productive player on the year. In 1999, he remained with the Sand Gnats and Hafner really turned it on. He crushed it all year long. In 134 games and 480 at-bats, he hit .292 with 28 homers and 111 RBIs. He even had an insanely high OPS of .933. Obviously, I wasn't involved with the Rangers organization. Well, I wasn't even alive for that matter back then. But I have to imagine he was turning the heads of some front office executives after such an amazing minor league season. For the 2000 baseball season, the Rangers moved Travis Hafner up to the Port Charlotte Rangers, an advanced A team within the organization. I'm sure everyone was curious to see if Hafner could recreate his previous success at a higher level, and the answer would be a resounding yes. In 122 games for Port Charlotte, Travis Hafner went insane, hitting .346 with 22 homers and 109 RBIs. On top of that, he even had an OPS over 1,000. Travis Hafner was truly developing into an absolute stud in the batter's box. Pitchers were starting to fear him, like shaking in their cleats fear him. In 2001, Travis Hafner was now entering his age 24 season and would be moved up to AA. It didn't matter where Travis Hafner was or what level of the minor leagues he was in, the dude just kept hitting. He appeared in 88 games and hit 20 homers and only 323 at-bats. He also hit .282 with an OPS of .941. It was without a doubt another successful season in Travis Hafner's career. 2002 would come around, and Travis Hafner would open the season in AAA playing for the Oklahoma Redhawks. He'd total 110 games with the team, and once again, he'd pop off, hitting .342 with 21 homers and 77 RBIs. At this point, Hafner is in his age 25 season and has torn up the minor leagues for parts of six seasons dating all the way back to 1997. As it would turn out, it seemed like the Rangers would agree that it was time for Hafner to make the move up, because in August of 2002, he got the call to the big leagues. Travis Hafner would make his MLB debut on August 6th in a game against the Detroit Tigers. Hafner wouldn't get the start in the game. He'd come off the bench and pitch hit for Michael Young with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning with the Rangers down 8-2. Hafner would be facing off against pitcher Steve Sparks, and unfortunately for Pronk, he'd work the count full before striking out swinging on the sixth pitch of the at-bat to end the game. While it wasn't the most memorable or necessarily successful MLB debut, Travis Hafner would still be an MLB player. The very next day, Hafner would get his first ever MLB start, hitting 7th and DHing. This actually was a really interesting and fun Rangers lineup to look at. It had Kevin Mensch leading off and playing right field, Carl Everett in left field hitting 2nd, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, hit third and played shortstop. Rafael Palmeiro batted cleanup and played first base. Hall of Famer Ivan Rodriguez hit sixth and did the catching. Like we touched on, Travis Hafner hit seventh and DH'd. Michael Young, who is truly underrated, hit eighth and played second base. And Ruben Rivera hit ninth and played center field. Starting on the mound for the Rangers was Joaquin Benoit, a guy who turned out to eventually be a pretty good reliever. The Rangers were once again playing the Detroit Tigers, and they went with a lineup of George Lombard leading off in center field, Damian Easley hit second and played second base, Bobby Higginson, also underrated, hit third and played left field, Randall Simon hit cleanup and DH'd, Robert Fick hit fifth and played right field, Carlos Pena hit sixth and played first base, Shane Halter hit seventh and played shortstop, Chris Trubi hit eighth and played third base, Matt Walbeck hit ninth and did the catching, and on the mound was pitcher Mark Redman. Hafner would get his first crack at Redman in the bottom of the second inning with one out and Ivan Rodriguez on second base after he led off the inning with a double. Hafner would see the count go to 1-2 before striking out looking on the fifth pitch of the at-bat. Hafner would have to wait for another chance at getting his first career MLB base knock. The chance would soon come in the top of the fourth inning with his team down 2-1. Hafner stepped up to the plate with Herbert Perry on second base. Perry had previously hit a double that drove in Ivan Rodriguez to give the Rangers their first run of the game. On the fifth pitch of the at-bat, Travis Hafner would line a single into center field that would lead to an RBI triple. That's right, Travis Hafner's first career MLB hit was actually a triple. Funnily enough, Travis Hafner would only hit 13 triples in the entirety of his MLB career, so the fact that his first hit was a triple is definitely rare. With the hit being a triple, Herbert Perry obviously scored from second base, so this also netted Travis Hafner his first MLB RBI, the first of many to come in his future. In his next two at-bats, Travis Hafner would fly out to left field and then fly out to right field. The game would eventually actually go into extra innings though, so Hafner was able to get another at-bat in the 11th inning. He'd take advantage of the opportunity as well, hitting a single off of pitcher Julio Santana. Hafner would later go on to score a go-ahead run, being driven in by Kevin Mensch. The Rangers would bust the game open during the 11th inning, and they'd win it 7-2. Now, I know when you think of Pronk, you think of home runs, so I'm sure you're curious as to when Travis Hafner finally got that first career home run. Well, I'm happy you asked, because on August 11th, the Rangers would funnily enough be playing against the Cleveland Indians. In the top of the third inning, Travis Hafner came up to bat against Jason Phillips. The at-bat was a battle. The count ran full. But finally, on the seventh pitch of the at-bat, Hafner was able to crush his first career MLB homer, and the Rangers would even eventually win the game 11-5. Overall, in 2002, while playing for the Texas Rangers, Hafner was able to appear in 23 games and he got 62 at-bats, hitting .242 with that one homer, 6 RBIs, and a .716 OPS. Nothing extraordinary by no means, but this wasn't a bad first attempt at hitting big league pitching. Despite consistently tearing up the minor leagues as well as having a decent first showing in the bigs, the Texas Rangers would choose to move on from Travis Hafner, sending him to the Cleveland Indians on December 6, 2002 in a trade. He'd soon make the Rangers regret it. During the 2003 baseball season, Travis Hafner would split time between the Indians' AAA team as well as the big league club. With AAA, he did pretty good, hitting .271 with 2 homers and 10 RBIs. With the Indians, he'd start to show signs of breaking out. He played in 91 MLB games and received 291 at-bats. He mashed 14 homers and drove in 40 runs while hitting .254 with an .812 OPS. Hafner finally got a real chance to get decent playing time, and he was definitely capitalizing on it. On August 14th, Hafner would achieve the rare feat of hitting for the cycle, becoming the first Indians player to do so since Andre Thornton did it all the way back in 1978. Hafner seemed to make a great first impression with his new ball club, and I'm sure everyone was looking forward to seeing what he could do in 2004. It's now the 2004 MLB season, and the only interesting thing that you need to concern yourself with isn't a curse being broken or something silly like that. It's Travis Hafner's breakout season. This truly would be Travis Hafner's official coming out party. He served as Cleveland's primary DH, playing in 140 games and getting a then-career-high 482 at-bats. He flourished, hitting .311 with 28 homers and 109 RBIs. His OPS was just shy of 1,000 at .993. He truly was an impact player in 2004. He was third in the AL in on-base percentage, fourth in slugging percentage, sixth in doubles, seventh in extra base hits, ninth in RBIs, 10th in batting average, and his 28 home runs also put him at 16th in the American League. It truly seems that no matter how you look at things, Travis Hafner was a top 10 hitter in the American League. Not bad at all for a community college alumni who was a 31st round pick. Hafner's best month of the 2004 season came in July, where he set Cleveland on fire. He hit 360 on the month with 8 homers and 28 RBIs. This season was also notable because it saw Hafner hit his first career grand slam on April 12th against Kyle Lowe's. Hafner's great play even saw him garner some slight MVP consideration. He placed 24th in that year's voting. This would be the year that Vladimir Guerrero Sr. won, with Gary Sheffield being the runner-up. In 2004, the Indians finished with a record of 80-82, finishing third in the AL Central, and unfortunately, missing the playoffs. Prior to the 2005 season, the Cleveland Indians gave Hafner some job security, signing him to a 3-year deal that ran through the 2007 season with a club option for 2008. If you guys thought Travis Hafner's 2004 season was great, then you might want to buckle up, because he's going to turn it up a notch in 2005. Hafner appeared in 137 games and once again hit over 300, batting .305 with 33 homers and 108 RBIs. Also, for the first time in his MLB career, he registered an OPS over 1,000 this season. He once again was among some league leaders in the American League. Hafner was 3rd in on-base and slugging percentage, 5th in doubles, 7th in walks, 9th in batting average, 9th in homers, and even 9th in RBIs. He won American League Player of the Month in June after hitting .345 with 8 homers and 29 RBIs as well. In September of 2005, Travis Hafner would homer in an impressive 6 straight games. This would be the second longest streak in Cleveland history. Hafner's 2005 season was so good, he even had a top 5 AL MVP finish, placing behind A-Rod, David Ortiz, Vlad Guerrero, and Manny Ramirez. The 2005 Cleveland Indians were actually a pretty good team, finishing with a record of 93-69, but sadly, the eventual world champion Chicago White Sox won 99 games, winning the division and keeping the Indians out of the playoffs. 2006 would prove to be Travis Hafner's third straight season of MVP-like production. He slugged 42 homers to go along with 117 RBIs, batting .308 with an OPS of over 1,000 for the second consecutive season. His season was cut a little short in early September when he suffered a broken bone in his right hand after he was hit by a CJ Wilson pitch. If you were an opposing team, one thing you did not want to see was Travis Hafner coming up to bat with the bases loaded in 2006. You want to know why? Because he crushed 6 grand slams this season. That's right, 6 grand salamis in a single season. Absolutely asylum level insane. Hafner led the league this season in slugging percentage, OPS, and OPS+. Travis Hafner would once again place fairly high in MVP voting in 2006, finishing in 8th place. 2007 would be Travis Hafner's age 30 season. It would wind up being the last time Hafner would put up a fully healthy and productive season. Hafner played in a career-high 152 games and also got a career-high 545 at-bats. He would hit 24 homers and drive in 100 runs, all while hitting .266 with an .837 OPS, along with a .120 OPS+. This season was far from Hafner's best, but it was still plenty above average. Around the All-Star break, the Indians also gave Hafner a 4-year, $57 million contract extension, locking him into the Cleveland Indians lineup for the long term. There were rumors during the season that Hafner's somewhat disappointing performance was due to him playing over half the year without a new contract, and maybe that these negotiations were a little distracting, but Hafner did deny that this was the case. 2007 would be Travis Hafner's one and only opportunity to play postseason baseball during his career. He'd play in 11 playoff games and get 43 at-bats, hitting .186 with 2 homers and a .649 OPS. So, not quite up to par with his regular season stats, but the pressure to produce in October is without a doubt a tough thing to do, and it was his first time ever doing it, so I guess it does make sense. The Indians would be eliminated in 7 games by the eventual champions, the Boston Red Sox. After 2007, Travis Hafner would never again hit 20 homers in a season, he'd never again reach 60 RBIs in a season, and he'd only ever play in 100 games or more just one more time after this year as well. And that's not meant to diminish Travis Hafner's career in any type of way, because he really went on a truly awesome 4-season run. But there's really just a decline after his age 30 season, and it was a lot to do with not being able to stay healthy. Travis Hafner missed most of the 2008 MLB season due to injuries. He only appeared in 57 games, and his numbers while on the field weren't what we were used to seeing from him. He hit only 197 with 5 homers, 24 RBIs, and a 628 OPS. In 2009, Travis Hafner would once again only be limited to 94 games because of injuries. But his numbers were back to more of the standards that we expected of him when he was on the field. Hafner hit 272 with 16 homers and 49 RBIs, along with an OPS of 826. This would kind of be the trend for Travis Hafner as we move forward into his career. He wouldn't be able to play in a lot of games due to injuries, but when he was on the field, he was still producing at that prompt rate that we expected. Sadly, though, he just wasn't always available. Moving on to 2010, Travis Hafner would play in 100 games in an MLB season for the final time. He'd take the field in 118 contests, and he'd produce at an above-average rate yet again, hitting 278 with 13 homers, 50 RBIs, and an 824 OPS. So this was another season with fairly limited playing time, but still really nice offensive results. 2011 saw Hafner play 94 games yet again, in which he hit 280 with another 13 homers to go along with 57 RBIs. It truly does seem like Travis Hafner was going to give you about 100 games a season, 13 to 60 homers, and 40 to 60 RBIs every year after he turned 30. Which is still better than most, don't get me wrong, but it's still not quite at the level he reached in those early and mid-2000s seasons with Cleveland. 2011 had a few highlights during the season for Hafner. He had a walk-off homer off of Brandon League on May 13th in a game against the Mariners, and then on July 7th, he managed to crank another walk-off homer, but this time it was a walk-off grand salami in a game against the Toronto Blue Jays. On opening day in 2012, Travis Hafner became only the 12th player in Cleveland Indians history to make at least 10 opening day starts for the team. This was a monumental season for Bronk because on August 5th, he hit a solo home run in the 10th inning of a game. And this wasn't just any home run. This would be Travis Hafner's 200th career home run. Without a doubt, an awesome benchmark for Hafner to reach, especially considering where he was drafted and how long it took him and how long and hard he had to grind just to make it to the big leagues. On October 3rd, 2012, Travis Hafner would bat 5th and DH for the Indians in a game against the Chicago White Sox. He'd go 1-for-4, hitting a single off of Gavin Floyd. The Indians would lose the game 9-0, and this would sadly be Travis Hafner's last game with the Cleveland Indians. After the 2012 baseball season, the Cleveland Indians would decline Travis Hafner's option, making him a free agent for the first time in his career and putting an end to the 10 years he spent within the Cleveland Indians organization. On February 1st, 2013, Hafner would join the Bronx Bombers, signing a one-year, $2 million deal with the New York Yankees. Hafner would make his Yankees debut on April 1st in a game against the Boston Red Sox. He'd come in the 6th inning, and he'd wind up going 1-for-2, getting a single off of Junichi Tozawa in the bottom of the 8th inning. The Yankees would wind up losing Hafner's debut game with the team 8-2, though. Hafner would make his return to Cleveland on April 8th and play against the Indians for the first time since signing with the Yankees. He'd give Indians fans a blast from the past, going 2-for-3 with 2 walks, 4 RBIs, and a 3-run home run. Hafner would start off his tenure in a Yankees uniform in impressive fashion, batting .318 for the first month of the season. His production unfortunately would tail off as the season went on, though. Injuries got to him again. He was suffering from rotator cuff inflammation that limited him to only 82 games on the year. In those 82 games, Hafner hit only .202 with 12 homers and 37 runs batted in. This went along with a .679 OPS and an .87 OPS plus. On September 29th, 2013, Travis Hafner would play in a game for the Yankees and get hit by a pitch twice, along with going 0-for-4. The Yankees would win the game 5-1, and it would be the last MLB game in Travis Hafner's career. Overall, Travis Hafner, a former 31st-round pick from Community College, hit .273 with 213 homers, 731 runs batted in, 1,107 hits, and 1,183 games played. He was worth 24.8 WAR for his career, and he had an OPS of 874 and an OPS plus of 134. Over the course of his MLB career, he also managed to make a cool $66,795,900. Some fun facts about Travis Hafner is that he has the most home runs of any MLB player born in North Dakota. He led the league in hit-by-pitches in 2004, being hit 17 times. He's a huge WWE fan, especially a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? In 2006, a chocolate company in Cleveland released a candy bar known as the Pronk Bar in honor of Travis Hafner. Hafner also has a line of beef jerky known as Pronk Beef Jerky that hit store shelves back in 2007. The Pronk nickname was given to Hafner in 2003 by teammate Bill Selby. It's a mix of two of Hafner's other nicknames, the Project and the Donkey. Travis Hafner was without a doubt a pretty good player. The odds seemed to be against him a lot in the early part of his career, but Hafner, he just kept on hitting. Without fail, he just was gonna mash. And it didn't matter what level of professional baseball you put him in, the dude could just hit. And his four-season run from 2004 to 2007 was absolutely insane. He was on top of his game during those years and was truly one of the most feared hitters on the planet. There were very few guys who could hit as far or as hard as Travis Hafner in his prime. I think Hafner is a guy that a lot of baseball fans, and especially Cleveland fans, remember fondly, but I really don't hear too much modern-day conversation around him anymore, so I really feel like he was the perfect choice for an episode. Well, guys, that was the pretty good career of Travis Hafner. I really hope you guys enjoyed this latest episode. Travis Hafner was really just an amazing ball player, truly Hall of Pretty Good worthy, truly worth an episode, and definitely a lot of fun to look back on. You know, I looked through old baseball cards I have of him. The dude was jacked. He seems like a nice guy, really great player, and that four-season run he went on was spectacular. I really hope you guys liked what you heard. Look for new episodes. I put out new ones twice a week, every week. One on Wednesdays, the other usually on Saturdays. There's mini episodes, full-length episodes, interviews, plenty of stuff for you guys to enjoy. I really hope you guys like everything I've been doing here. It's been a ton of fun, and I love connecting with baseball fans all over the country, all over the world for that matter. I just hit 12,000 Instagram followers this morning, actually, and so it's just been crazy how big this has gotten. It's been a huge honor, and I really hope to just keep it pushing and keep it going. Because I'm just a huge baseball fan. I love the sport. I love everything about it. I love its history. I love doing this research. It's really just a fun hobby. And I'm so glad that you guys wanted to be on for the ride. It's so crazy that people want to talk about baseball with me. But I really think that these players have a fan base. And that, you know, they're just not talked about anymore. And so this should be a place where we can talk about these guys that we grew up loving. Because I know there's plenty of Travis Hafner fans out there. Like, I know there's plenty of Scott Kazmir fans out there. There's fans of these guys. Not everyone just loves Acuna or Ellie De La Cruz or Shohei, and they're all great players. Do not get me wrong, but these guys deserve their flowers as well. Guys, I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great weekend too, since this is dropping on Saturday. Sorry about that. This has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. My name is Bryce Whitlow. Thank you, guys. Bye.